This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, all of the fun stuff that we like to do once we get in there and we're done tinkering, which we're never done tinkering, so that's why we touch on that sometimes here too. But welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. You can also check out all of these podcasts at BrightsideHomeTheater.com, the website, and you can check out all the featured theaters there too. And rumor has it, we will be getting a new featured theater soon. One's being submitted as we speak, so that should be coming in the coming weeks. You can also check out this podcast if you're not already. You can check it out on YouTube. You can go over there, hit subscribe. That would be great. Building up that audience as well. Pictures to go with all of the stuff that we talk about. So it's kind of fun to do that. I'm enjoying that, enjoying the interaction over there for the most part, getting some good feedback. And speaking of feedback, let's get to, well, actually, first, let's get to Patreon. You can go to Patreon, support the podcast, go to patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater. And if you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, you can donate once, you know, they'll take a little money once a month. You can pick a number anywhere from a dollar all the way up. It's not needed, but greatly appreciated. And thank you to my 13 patrons. I really appreciate it. Standing tall at 13. Really happy to have 13 people on board. Thank you very much. And speaking of supporting the podcast, also Twitter. We have 4 new Twitter followers this week. We have Kelly Brent Kaufman, Paulson Alexander, Dan Carpenter, and Simon Watson. Thank you for supporting me on Twitter, following me on Twitter. I had a down couple of weeks there with no new Twitter followers, but I also wasn't on Twitter. But recently I started tweeting out every morning what I've been watching, because I get up early. I like to enjoy my theater when I get a chance. So I've been watching stuff in the morning. Sometimes it's a whole movie if I have a chance. Sometimes it's just I jump around scenes. Really looking forward to Star Wars. I wanted to do it tonight, but as we speak, it's Tuesday, May 25th, Star Wars birthday from 1977. I just had a great conversation with my buddy over on my other podcast, Brightside Chat, and we got really nostalgic about what it was like in 77. And I'm going to get into a little bit more of that when we get to some emails, because it kind of coincides with a couple of things I've seen in emails this week as well. But it's supporting this podcast. It doesn't have to be done monetarily. I do that because why not? Doesn't hurt, right? If people want to donate, great. But I've gotten a lot of requests. I got 3 more requests this week. Thank you guys. I appreciate it for going on and becoming an affiliate with somebody, because one of the greatest compliments you guys can give me is to say, hey, I didn't even know this movie existed, or I didn't know this movie was that good, so I went out and bought it. So one of the most, there, 3 things I hear the most. 1, my enthusiasm is overwhelming, and which is funny. I love it. Thank you. And 2, the second thing is, I've never heard of this movie, and thank you for pointing it out to me, which is a huge compliment. And then the third thing I get all the time is, you should get paid for when I buy the movies. And I don't want to do that. And that's why I went the Patreon route. I hate asking for money, because I don't, I don't need it. This is my hobby. I enjoy it, but it is expensive. I pay a lot for my programs that I use, you know, Adobe. I do this and I do that because I want to learn. It's the artist in me. I want to learn how to do these things, but that's on me. But if you guys want to support that, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But I do not want to get paid for what you guys buy, because then I feel like it's a conflict of interest or creates that. And the definition of a conflict of interest is just if there is an idea of it, then that is one. And there are a lot of people that do it and they get paid to do it. But they don't come at it with the way I come at it. I don't come at it with any knowledge. This is just my opinion on what I saw in my theater. It has really nothing to do with the story of the movie. It's just the theater experience. And you guys get that. But if all of a sudden I said at the end of the podcast, if you really liked this movie, then go here and click this and then you can support the podcast. Then it sounds like I'm doing this movie and talking it up because I can get paid. And I never, ever want anybody to think that. So not that I don't appreciate that compliment. I'm not trying to tell you to stop asking me to do that. I've been offered it by other people. I've been suggested by people. It just to me is like, that's not why I do this. And I would never want that even to be a single thought on why I'm doing it. It's like, oh, you can make a lot of money at it. I'm not in it for the money, clearly. So I do this for the love of home theater and I want people to support me in a way that, because they love home theater, whether it's monetarily or through Twitter. Guys like Steve George, who's like tireless at this. He's constantly retweeting me. Theo over on YouTube, constantly. He's always complimenting me, always liking and just spreading the word of home theater. And it's like people are doing this for me all the time. Nelson, he's helped me build my room. He's helped me with things. He's helped me with this. He's pointed me in directions to save me money to do this. People have reached out in different ways to help me, and it doesn't have to be through Patreon, but the people that have helped me on Patreon, greatly appreciated. I hope that grows, but it's not needed, and I don't want to grow in a way that would make people think that I'm doing this for that reason, because I'm not. So let's get to the listener comments. Happy birthday to Star Wars. I know by the time you hear this on Friday, it'll be a few days old, but it's the birthday today. And Star Wars, as you know, is huge to me. And you can see the picture over there. On YouTube. I just said to the camera and people listening in audio don't know what's behind me. And it's the Star Wars poster. But anyways, so yes, let's get to some listener comments. And we only have one this week. Most of the comments this week came from people congratulating me for my daughter. And thank you very much to everybody. I don't want to list all of them and start tweet. I actually thought of running a like end of scroll on the side here on YouTube of everybody that said congratulations. But I thought against it. I'm like, no, okay. So thank you to everybody. It was awesome that my daughter graduated. We are very proud, but it all goes to her. It's kind of funny for me to be proud. I didn't do anything except for get out of her way, because she had a lot to do and she had a lot to accomplish, and she did it. And we're very proud of her. So thank you to everybody for congratulating us on that. It was a great experience. But the one comment we did get was from Derek, my buddy there at Echo4How. He said, greatest American hero movie. Why not at Brightside HT? And I'm like, why not? It's a great suggestion. Maybe we'll do it. And so let's get to these emails that I was talking about earlier. So as most of you know, I am part of the email chain. If you don't know, it's been mentioned on all three podcasts. Carl likes to email us and he keeps us up to date on home theater news, whether it's, you know, what's going on in the theaters or a new piece of equipment. And sometimes it's within my genre. Sometimes most of the time it's within everybody in the other two podcasts, HT Guys and AV Rant, their genre. They're more equipment based. I'm more environment based and going to the theaters. Well, this week we had, let's see, it's at New York Times. It's Magic What We Do in the Movie Theaters. And also we had, where was the other one? There was another one that was about going back to the movies. Oh yeah. After 14 months, going back to the movies reminded me how to joyfully disappear. And in my conversation with my buddy, John, I was thinking, and it popped in my head about home theater, about the home theater podcast. And I wanted to mention this to you guys. We love our home theaters. And we talk all the time on how we can duplicate what you get in the theater at home with the big screen, and like HD guys and AV rant say all the time, just move closer. You can have the same experience. Here's the one caveat. And I said this, I believe, back in the Thanksgiving when we all sat down, is the one thing you can't duplicate is the room size. And it's that room that makes that experience so much fun. And here's the part where when I was talking to John earlier tonight, he said we were talking about going to Star Wars when we were a kid and going when we were teenagers to see Jedi and going in and out of the theater. And it struck me, it's that going in and out. Now, I remember as a kid walking out of the theater, whether it would be Rocky or Star Wars or Rambo or any of these movies, and there was a line of people going in, and they're on one side of the rope and we're on the other. And it wasn't like it is today where you barely see anybody else. It was a very crowded because it was very small. So we went by that, but there was a camaraderie there, and you made eye contact with the people going by, and you looked at do you remember standing in line to go in, and you're looking at the faces coming out going, was it good? Trying to get a hint on how the ending was of this movie. What was Empire going to be like? What was the ending going to be like? And you're trying to read people's faces because you wanted to get a hint of that. And then they would look back at you and they would give you like the nod with the eyebrows, like, you're going to like it or whatever. It's a good one. Or sometimes you'd see disappointment on their faces, like when you're walking into Hudson Hawk and people are coming out from Hudson Hawk. I actually liked it. My buddy that I went to see it with hated it. But you know what I mean? There's that camaraderie of going to the theater, of sitting in a giant room with hundreds of other people and cheering together. And I think we've even forgotten that. It's been a year, and you forget how great it's going to be in a crowded theater. I'm a Boston Bruins fan, and I got to go to a game, and it was only 12% capacity. So there were only 2,000 people in a building that holds 18,000. And I was with my son and we're like, this is like when we went to your high school games, it's like nobody here. And it was weird and it's not the same. And it was nice being there, but it's great seeing a game live, but it's the people around you. And whether you talk to them or not, but you interact with them just by being there. And that's the part of going back to the theater that I think is going to be great. And that's the part that we can't duplicate in our homes. And that to me is part of the magic, because the reason we built our homes is because of the experience we had there. And yes, you can't duplicate that one aspect, but your memory of being there goes home. And that's why I designed my theater. That's why I sit in the second row of my theater. I designed my theater so that the prime row was the second row, so I'd have a row of seats in front of me, just like when I'm at a theater. And that's what I wanted. And that's, we all have those inspirations in our theaters. And that's, I just wanted to talk about that this week, kind of touch on a bunch of the emails that I got. So that's it. That's it for emails this week. That's it for comments. Again, thank you to everybody for the congratulations. Thank you for the suggestions. We have two movies in scenes of the week. So we have two movies this week. First one, Baby Driver, comes to us from Chris. It was a DM on Twitter, so I won't give his full thing. But Chris says, this movie integrates the music soundtrack into the movie's actions in an awesome way, highlighting the world Baby lives in with earbuds. And yes, he is 100% correct. I saw this movie in the theater with my son, absolutely enjoyed it. I've watched it in my home theater a few times. It's been on my list, but as stuff comes up, like this week's almost, and I'll get to that when we get to this week's, but this week's almost didn't happen in the middle of the week because my mind went someplace else and I was going to do this, but I stuck with it because I absolutely love this week's movie. So Baby Driver, great recommendation. And this is where I'll throw in Army of the Dead coming from me. This is my review of Army of the Dead on Netflix right now. Do you see the tie in there? Zack Snyder, here we go. Army of the Dead. Everybody out there is doing their Army of the Dead reviews. I'm going to do Army of the Dead. Then I'm going to hit you up with another Zack Snyder. We're going to obviously sucker punch. But yes, so here's my quote for it. An absolute home theater thrill ride that will leave you feeling weird at the end. And that's not a bad thing. I don't want to, no spoilers here. This is about the story very quickly because I'm about the environment, and very quickly, the story I thought was fun, but it leaves you feeling weird at the end. And if you want to talk about it on DM, I'd be happy to mention, talk to you why I feel that way. But I did. I had a really good time with this story, and I'm not a zombie guy. I don't like zombie. I'm not a big zombie fan. I don't gravitate towards them, but I liked this. I'll be honest with you, I like Zombieland better because I thought it was more humorous. I thought it was a little bit more fun story-wise. I thought this, Army of the Dead, was more fun home theater-wise. So let's get into the home theater part. I thought this was a blast on Netflix. I thought that everything that Snyder did was so artistic. It was just fantastic. The lighting I thought was great. I thought the HDR could have been a little bit better, but that's because it's Netflix. And typically Netflix does a really good job with HDR because I think they have parameters for their artists so that they shoot things that they know they're going to be streaming and it's going to be compressed. So they shoot things in a way that that really enhances the HDR. Whereas I don't think Snyder did that because you have a lot of shots with scenes with, backlighting. So then their faces, like if I, their faces are darker than what's around them, which doesn't come off as great on compressed HDR. And now if you get this on disc, it's probably going to look fantastic. That's kind of how I felt there, but I loved the style. I love the colors. I love the way it moved, the color, I mean, how it moved through the movie. But I loved the sound, and it wasn't a fully moving sound, but the full room was engaged. It didn't have as many pans as I would have liked, but it had a bunch, and it was a full on action extravaganza, if you will. The zombies were, my wife and I were laughing. They had to all be dancers the way they moved because they were supposed to be faster at times. So you had them moving in a way, and it was just so much fun. Like my wife and I looked at each other afterwards and we both went, cause we're not zombie fans. We're not into that zombie genre typically, but we both looked at each other and we went, that was fun. It was a lot of fun. And in a theater, I think if we watched this in the living room, we would have been like, I don't know. But in the theater, it was so much fun. Such a good time. And here's one other thing. Spoiler free. And I said this on my other podcast with my buddy John. This movie, it leaves you also feeling like this is the middle chapter. I can't wait for what comes before this, because, and now again, this is spoiler free. This is right at the beginning, opening scene of the movie. They roll out, the military goes to roll out. And if you look in the sky, there's two white lights and they fly off with the military, like, pew. So there's some, it feels like an alien presence there, but it never pans out. Nothing ever comes of that. So that has to be in the prequel, which we know, or you can hear about, that there are prequels planned. And I won't give the ending away, but of course it's going to, there's room for a sequel there. So what are we getting? This is the middle story. And I'm so intrigued by what's going to come after this movie. And I'm super intrigued by how we got to this movie. So I think what Snyder did there is same thing he did with the Snyder Cut. When we were done watching that and we were watching at the end, we were like, we want more. And he's just so good. He's such an artist. And it was so much fun. I really, I can't recommend it enough. And I'm not a zombie fan, but it was a lot of fun. And it leaves you wanting more on both ends of the movie. So, and it is a great home theater experience. So top notch. Probably not top notch in my book. I didn't really think it lived up to, like, say, you know, Six Underground conversation we had this week on Twitter. I didn't think it was as good as that, but it's almost up there. It's almost up there. And it is a really good movie. So definitely check that one out. It's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, it's free. So there you go. So that gets us to this week's movie. And oh, talk about a piece of art. What Snyder did with this movie is just art. And like I said, what a piece of art. It's very artistic video. It's got artistic audio. It has everything. I absolutely love this movie. I'm trying it. My wife, I know she would love this movie as well. Been trying to get her to see it. But let's start with the video. Fantastic video. I love the tones throughout this movie. It has a very warm tone throughout the movie, to the point that even the cooler tones, and I'll talk about those in a little bit, but even the cooler tones have a warm sense to them. The blues are a little warmer, if you can imagine that. It has a fantastic grain to it, not 300-ish type grain, but a nice grain to it. And I thought the grain really worked well with the palette too. The black levels, I think, are fantastic. This is just a Blu-ray. It's not a 4K, no HDR. We'll get to that in a second. But I felt like between the nice grain that you had here that lends itself to the art, and the color palette, I felt like everything worked really well together, and it was very vibrant throughout the movie. And that gets to the 4K or HDR or not. Do we need it on this movie? I have a hard time saying that we need it, but at the same time, I think 300 looks fantastic, and that has the 4K with HDR. So do you need it or do you not need it? I don't know. But if it's, I don't want it to be done and have it ruin it, because this is heavily CGI'd like 300 was. And I'm afraid that too much detail could actually detract from the movie, maybe, because I mean, you just get so absorbed into this movie. I thought it was just so much fun the way it is. And it's a piece of art. From beginning to end, visually, we're sticking with visually right now, where it's like, maybe if we go to 4K and HDR, not so good, but I can see where that could enhance it, but it has to be done very, very well, because the black levels here, I thought, were fantastic. There's a lot of these shots. There's some detail in some of these darker scenes that could be pulled out. But it's not necessary, because this movie is based on what is reality type thing. So let's just keep it at that. And I think this Blu-ray is fantastic the way it is. I don't think it needs to be enhanced into 4K or HDR or anything like that. Let's live with it the way it is. That's my take. Costumes in this movie, I wanted to make a note of too, because there's an opportunity here. This is a movie about, and we're going spoiler free at the beginning here. It's basically about girls and their plight and their strength of overcoming some really bad odds. And there were some opportunities when you see this movie where this could have gone in a direction of really exploiting women and exploiting girls and their bodies and stuff. And I thought the costumes here were very tastefully done. My daughter grew up as a dancer, and I've seen costumes that I thought were maybe, you know, of the obscene look, going to different competitions that my daughter was in, other dance studios. And then I see other costumes that I very much fit this movie. They weren't obscene. They were basically all dance costumes, even down to some of the scenes with rhinestones on them and stuff. But I thought it was, I thought the costumes played to the movie. It played to the atmosphere. It played to the fantasy, if you will, within the movie. But there was, I didn't think it was very, like, I didn't think it was too risque. I didn't think it was exploiting the girls at all, the women in the movie. I thought it was very well done and very tastefully done. And I thought that was kind of refreshing because there was some, and I watched the director's cut. So unedited or unrated director's cut. And there were opportunities to exploit the women and they didn't take it. And I thought that was pretty cool. Let's get to the sound. The sound is great. Great bass, DTS Master Audio 5.1. I don't even think we need Atmos here. Maybe a little bit more. I wouldn't be upset. Atmos or DTS:X. I wouldn't be upset if they upgraded that the sounds on this. But I thought that the room was so full. I thought the bass was so deep, not like Lucy type deep where things are vibrating off of shelves and everything. But I thought that the sound was so dynamic. We had such great highs, great lows. We had sound moving around the room to the point that this was maybe the first time I really felt like my room was that much bigger than it really is. Cause there are some scenes that the sound is just way out there. It like further away from you, but then it comes back really fast. And it's like the soundstage just seems so, so wide. I thought it was fantastic. And it's also, this is basically a musical. Spoilers, but it's like, this is like take Moulin Rouge and maybe mix it with Army of the Dead, of all things. That jumps to mind. Gee, I wonder why. But you know what I mean? So like Moulin Rouge is a great music, lot of good rock and roll in it. This one has the same thing. A lot of great songs in this soundtrack that are, you know, they're covers, they're sung in a different way. Some of them, but I thought the movie, it's fantastic how it goes all the way through the movie and it plays a part of the movie. The music is, and they do a great job at filling your room with all of that sound, whether it be the music itself or the soundtrack or the score of the movie. Excellent, excellent. Tons of fun to listen to through this entire movie. Tons and tons of fun. But let's get this popcorn popping and we'll get to that first scene. Was that 3143, Defend Yourself? And that's getting two boxes of popcorn. This is where Baby Doll battles three giant samurai. And it starts, the scene starts outside in a snowy environment. And this is kind of what I was talking about earlier, where the tones are, even the cooler tones have a warmer feel to them. And if you look at this scene here, you can see it. It's like compared to the backdrop I have on YouTube of my room, that's like a very blue backdrop. This scene looks relatively green, actually. And that's what I mean by green is a cooler color, but it's warmer than like a blue, which is a colder color. If you know what I mean there, but this immediately goes indoors. She gets kicked through a door and I mean, nice bass here. The room is full. Really, once they get inside, the soundtrack / music playing and we go inside to a much warmer atmosphere. We have fire bursting around you so you can hear that. The soundtrack's all around your room. You can hear that. But what I really liked about the scene and why I gave it two boxes of popcorn is because of it's swordplay. We have the samurai and the giant samurai. He's wielding this giant sword, spear-like sword. And the depth of field that you get of sound with the sword is some of the sword swings are going by in front of you, right? And you can hear that and you get nice pans of the swoosh through the room. But then some of them, when he swings over her head, the tip of the sword actually goes behind you. So you can actually feel that go behind you, but then there's still some sense of sound of it moving in front of you as well. Of course, her jumping around and landing and the samurai jumping and landing. We get fantastic bass there. And again, it's like when she kills a samurai and he falls and lands, great bass. And this scene goes on till 35:54. So you're getting almost 6 minutes of sound here. Maybe that's four or five minutes of sound of a scene. I mean, and she kills the first one and you think it's over. It's not. Another one comes in the door and he's got like a Gatling gun and he's going at it. So you get a completely different sense of sound here with bullets whizzing around the room. And then after that scene, she goes outside and it's a fairly quick ending to that samurai, but she faces three samurai, sound going all around. I mean, all different pans around your room. But what I really liked and take note of is that first samurai with the longer sword, just the way the depth of field changes with the different swings is really, really cool. I really like that. That's why, and again, that's why I gave it two boxes of popcorn. And this next scene, this scene here is based solely on the picture itself, the image itself, and the way it was shot. And I've seen YouTube videos on this over the years, and what a fantastic shot it is. So I thought I'd give my take on it as well. And this comes at 37 minutes and 45 seconds. It jumps right to this scene here, and it's the girls sitting at their makeup desks, at the mirrors, and how the camera starts to pan around. And what's tricky about it is how the camera pans and you can never see the camera in the mirror. So we all know how they do this stuff, or an idea of this. It's like they're not mirrors. It's actually an open space and we have actors on both sides. So it creates the illusion of a mirror, but it's not really a mirror. But what I thought was really cool is how slowly they pan around. And when you first came into this scene, you're looking at everything. You think that's the reality. But then the scene pans around and they come back to where the girls are, where the main actresses are, because the main actresses are in the mirror to start the scene. Okay, so the backs of the heads, you're seeing quote unquote body doubles acting out the scene in unison for them. Well, when they come back around, when that camera pans to the second side, so now you're inside the mirror verse, the inside of the mirror, but that's where the camera stays. So this movie is based on, you know, Baby Doll going in and out of reality. We just went in and out of reality here, and just this camera pan of going around the corner, around the mirror, and going back and forth, which is the reality? And I thought this scene, it's 37, 45, mirror wraparound. I gave it two boxes of popcorn because, again, this has to do with what this movie is about. And which is the reality? Because when the camera actually pans around, what you thought was the reality in the first place isn't. That was, you were inside the mirrorverse to start, and then you come back around, and now you're on the side of the reality. Or is it the other way around? How do we know which one is it? Because it just blew my mind, and I watched the scene so many times back and forth and which way it goes. And I love when it comes to the scene, because a lot of people will tell you and talk about how they did the scene and how you can do it without a camera and it's great and how the actresses have to work in unison to do this. But the idea of how that plays into the storyline of the movie and what's reality and what isn't reality and which side of the mirror are we really on, I thought just was so cool. And I really wanted to talk about that. This next scene comes at 106:55, also gets two boxes of popcorn, and it's aptly named Superhero Landing. After, you know, Deadpool and the three girl, it's Sweet Pea, I believe, is in it. Yeah, Sweet Pea. It Baby Doll takes Sweet Pea, and I forget who the third one is, but they drop in to battle. They drop in from a helicopter to battle Kind of, I guess they're kind of like orcs from like Lord of the Rings or something. They look like that. They got the pointy ears. They got that squished nose kind of looking face, and they got to battle them, but they come in from the helicopter and they drop down, and the nice superhero landing when all three of them land, and you can actually hear the three discrete landings. They're very close together, but you get the bubble. Really cool, really nice. Again, lots of music, great music video for all intents and purposes. But here we have some nice swooshes across the room. When they go to swords, you can hear them pull the swords out. They're firing their weapons. But this is where the room does feel really, well, throughout the entire movie, I thought the room felt really wide, really like a huge soundstage. But you can hear the, quote, orcs or monsters or whatever they're fighting. You can hear them behind you coming from a distance, but then getting closer. So you had that going on, but then you had all of the action right in front of you, center stage. But the gunfire, even though the gun was right in front of you, but it's pointing, say, off to the right, it sounded like the gunfire from the gun was off to the right. In the middle of the room, even. It was really, really cool, but weird, because you would expect it to be locked in front in the front of the room, right where you're seeing it. But it like, and this is why I said, I go, feels a little bit bigger of a stage because the sound is all over the place. But like I said, the music or soundtrack to it is completely within the, all over the room, like in the room, filling the room with sound, not in any one place, but all over the place. And then you have the monster, the orcs or whatever, coming from behind you, then you have gunfire, then they pull out swords and there's swooshing going on. Just a fantastic scene, lots of fun, and you watch this over and over and you'll be like, oh, I haven't heard that one before, oh, I haven't heard that one before, oh, check that out. Really good scene for you to really enjoy over and over. All right, before I get to my final scene, which has 3 boxes of popcorn, let me run down some of the scenes that I made note of, but it's not that they didn't make the cut. It's just that I'm trying to be quicker right now for some reason, but this movie I'm definitely revisiting. We're going to go over all these scenes and more, but the opening, it's 5 minutes long. It's riveting. It basically tells you it's the, you know, the preface to this entire story, gives you what's going on, but the bass, everything. It sets the tone for visually. It sets the tone audibly. It sets the tone. It sets the tone in storyline, but it's a beautifully shot opening, beautiful sound all the way through. And it's 5 minutes long. Even when they get to the sucker punch on the window, looks fantastic. But then jumping around 18 minutes, Love is the Drug. The song, it's another music video. Sounds fantastic. 26 minutes, Dance. I can't even remember what that one is. I haven't gone and revisited it yet, but I think that's the first time that Sweet Pea dances, or Baby Doll, I'm sorry, the first time she dances. It's fantastic. 48 minutes, The Shootout. Fantastic. 56 minutes, Shoot Down the Zeppelin, and the bass in that, just great scene. 1 hour, 3 minutes, Fire. I don't know what that is, but I have it here in my notes. 1 hour, 28 minutes, The Knife Battle. That was fantastic. 1 hour, 41 minutes, Gunshots. I gave that 2 boxes of popcorn, and that's when they fire the gun. It's a horrible scene, but the gunshot was so loud, so discreet, so fantastic. But the scene is so horrible. So if you want to jump to check that one out, and 1 hour, 57 minutes, even Door Close. It's like a T2 jump pan. Like you hit a and then slam on the other side. I believe that the creak of the door, cause you have the hinges on the left and the slam is on the right. I believe, don't quote me on that. But it's one of those T2 jump pans, another one of those scenes. So tons and tons of scenes to get to. So we will revisit this movie absolutely for sure. And I will break down it in its entirety. Easy for me to say. All right, let's get to that final scene. And this scene comes at 1 hour, 11 minutes, 20 seconds, The Baby. And it's a dragon. The baby dragon. Again, 3 boxes of popcorn. This scene plays out all the way to 1 hour in just over 15 minutes. So it's 1 hour, 15 minutes, 20 seconds when Sweet Pea kills the baby. Excuse me, Baby Doll kills the mother. I screwed both names up. So Baby Doll, at the end of the scene is Baby Doll's on the top of the head of the mother and she puts the sword in. But let's back up. Let's get to, she kills the baby, baby dragon, and it. I felt awful. This scene, it was, for me, I love animals. So I felt for that baby dragon. She pulls the stones out. But the scene itself is what we get. That battle with the dragon is just fantastic. And we get, but before that, again, let me start at the beginning. She takes those stones and she clanks them together. And we get gorgeous shot on this. I mean, what he did on that screen, what Snyder did there, it looks fantastic with the blue flame, kind of the magic thing they have going on. Then the giant flame and the sound and the whoosh in your room sounded like it came up through the floor. Everything's fantastic. Great base. This scene here, and again, started at 1 hour, 11 minutes, 20 seconds. This scene probably has the best compilation of base throughout the entire movie, because we get different groans from the dragon. We get a nice deep, like the dragon will look at her at certain times and go, the mother dragon that is, and go, rrr. But your room vibrates. But then you also get the groan from the about to breathe fire. That has a different depth of bass to it. The sadness of when the mother is like checking on the baby and the baby just falls limp when the mother moves it, and you get a little bit of bass there. The different, but the anger, you could feel the anger in the mother, the way the scene was shot, the way the sound was. There's some great pans when we get into the battle in the sky between the plane and the dragon, the mother dragon flying. And there's one part where you're staring at the propeller on the plane, and it's on the right side of your screen, and you can really hear that on it's leaning to the right. And then as the plane pulls away, that propeller goes by you and it goes to the left side of the screen. That was really cool. The mother dragon comes up and bites the plane, the back end of the plane. And that sound, when earlier in the scene, you have the shot of we're looking at Baby Doll and the dragon is behind you and you can hear the dragon at the back of the room. It's fantastic. This entire scene is just, that's why I gave it 3 boxes of popcorn. There's so much going on, so much to behold. It's such a great scene. So definitely check that one out. And that'll do it for this week. Hope you enjoyed Sucker Punch. If you haven't seen it, well, you're probably not listening to this part. You probably stopped it. But if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Great piece of art. Thank you to my 13 patrons. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Thanks for following. Thanks for the great conversations. Keep it up. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at BrightsideHT. You can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Check out everything at the website. Check out YouTube. Hit subscribe. That would be great. Let's have some fun. I have a very special podcast episode next week. It's kind of dedication, kind of not, you know, you'll see. Really excited for that one. So I'm be back next week. Everybody have fun. In the meantime, go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.